From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Korva Coleman, in for Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Korva. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Great pleasure to be with you today. We have got a great show for you today. Congressman Henry Waxman, known as the Mustache of Justice, will be joining us later to play Not My Job.
You lie!
Excuse me, Korva?
I'd like to apologize. I'd let my emotions get the better of me.
Okay. Well, Mr. Waxman will be here, and we hope you will be too. Give us a call. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Now it's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, Peter. This is Jane Frederick.
Hey, Jane, where are you from?
Well, I just want to preface by saying I didn't vote for it.
All right. But
I'm from Beaufort, South Carolina.
I knew it. And there's such uncertainty as to who him could be, yeah. You know.
We'll be moving along to your governor in a minute, by the
yes.
way.
Yes. We figure it's a good week if we don't get on Wait, Wait, as a state.
Well, welcome to the show, Jane. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and author of the new book, Idiot America, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Jane. You have my sympathies.
Thank you. I need it.
Now, say hello to the deputy editor and blogger for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hello, Kiri.
Hi, Jane.
Finally, it's a humorist and author of the new book, Driving Like Crazy, Mr. P.J. O'Rourke, right there.
Hi, Jane.
Hello, P.J.
How you doing?
Hi.
Welcome to the show, Jane. You're going to play, of course, Who's Korva this time? Korva Coleman, filling it for Carl Castle. We'll read you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, of course, correctly identify or explain two of them. You know that. If you do, you win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
I'm ready.
Here is your first quote.
There remain some significant details to be ironed out.
That was the big laugh line. In a big speech to Congress this week, what speech?
The President Obama's speech on health care.
Yes, indeed. Very good.
He is such a kidder, president.
He is. Funny man. He did, as he say, leave out some details, like will the death panels be stained or natural wood? President Obama explained what his health care reform program will do. It will make us all happy and healthy and get together and love one another right now. And what it won't do, it won't create death panels or cover illegal immigrants or allow him to seize your liver whenever he gets hungry.
But that's Rahm Emanuel's
exactly.
job.
But what everybody, of course, is talking about after the speech was not the speech itself, but the Republican response. And by that, I mean Congressman Joe Wilson of, yes, South Carolina, shouting, "You lie," at the president, becoming the second South Carolina politician this year to insert himself somewhere inappropriately. They just can't stop. But Wilson, despite all the attention he got, was not the only Republican to heckle the president at the speech. Others booed. Some held up signs with the message, "What bill?" One Republican from Illinois got up and walked out right in the middle. That, plus the entire Alabama Republican delegation, they whipped off their shirts to show that they painted the word Muslim across their chests.
Well, the last guy got a little confused and it really said Muslin, but
yeah, well, you know. It was misspelled. They had to run around.
Did you see the video of I hate to pick on you, Jane, but Lindsey Graham?
Oh, this was great. This
Lindsey Graham.
The
president made an analogy about public health and public universities. And Lindsey Graham briefly thought it was a pretty good point and started to applaud, but then looked around, and he turned it into, like, wiping his hands. Like,
yes.
I missed that part.
Oh, that's great.
Obviously he'd been studying his Bible and saw the Pontius Pilate technique for handling a crowd. And
Charlie pays a little too much attention to these things, Jane. We just, you know, it's...
Well, I want to know where Lindsey Graham's hands are at all times because he's from South Carolina.
Jane, For your next quote, we actually have two different reactions to something that happened this week on Tuesday. Here is a fourth grader from Indiana.
So I'm going to be good now and not do bad things and not make fun of people.
And here, in contrast, is a high school freshman from Virginia.
I thought it was lame.
Those two kids were talking about a message they got from whom?
It was the address that President Obama gave to the school children.
Yes, President Obama again. President Obama's nationally broadcast speech. Yes, his speech to the school children made history, not because he spoke to kids, other presidents have done that, but because he set a record for product placements in presidential remarks. He mentioned no less than 5 brand names, Xbox, iPhone, Google, Twitter, and Facebook. And I'm betting he got paid a lot more for saying those names than I just did. But seriously, the speech was pretty innocuous, hit on some basic important themes, and it was the only speech Obama gave this week in which the audience did not act like children.
However,
yes.
many of their parents did.
Yeah, apparently.
It was lame.
I think both the kids were right, by the way.
It was lame.
It
was lame.
It was kind of lame. I mean, it was.
Come on.
Here, we just recapitulated every middle school lunchroom in America, right there.
It was another thing for children to ignore on the first day of school. Yeah. You know, like homeroom.
It was mixed. I mean, one thing that always strikes my ear, he said this before, and he said it again this week. He encouraged kids to give up their dreams of being a rapper or NBA star as unrealistic. That's President Obama's message to our children. You can be anything you want as long as it's not cool. All right, Jane, here we go. Here, Jane, is your very last quote.
I'm going to have to buy this for my parents this Christmas, aren't I?
That was from a 25-year-old. He was invited by the New York Times to play a new video game that has taken the world by storm this week. What's the game?
It's the Beatles game.
The Beatles Rock Band game. Very good. Very good. As if you needed any more proof that baby boomers still rule our world, the most exciting video game in years is one in which players recreate the music of a band that has been defunct for 40 years, and the two surviving members of which are both pushing 70. Also this week, another complete box set of the Beatles music was released. They're supposedly remastered, but they're really just carefully engineered so as to work well with most hearing aids. By the way, the game, you know how it works in this business. There are already pirated versions of Beatles Rock Band with the similar music, but not nearly as good. It's called Wings Rock Band.
Ouch. Ouch.
You know, generally speaking, the audience, we've done this for a few years. Generally speaking, the audience, if you become angrier and angrier, we're not doing well. Corva, how did Jane do in our quiz?
Well, Peter, Jane was perfect. She got 3 right, so she's going to win Carl Castle's voice on her home answering machine.
Well done.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
He's got a good reason for taking the easy way out. He's got a good reason for taking the easy way out. Cause I'm a dad.
Right now, panel time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Charlie, a new study says that over half of all Britons have been injured at least once in their lives by what?
The Beatles Rock Band.
No. If you don't know this, I'll have to give you a hint. Beware the Oreo, my son, and shun the frumious Chips Ahoy.
What, they've been injured by snack food?
No, more specifically.
Injured by cookies?
Yes, cookies. Half of all Britons, an estimated 25 million Brits have been injured somehow by a cookie or biscuit, as they like to call the lethal treats, with 500 people ending up in the hospital. The most common injuries reported are burns endured while dunking in tea. Choking.
What, up to the elbow? How do you get a burn dunking a cookie?
Little dainty fingers.
Good Lord.
So we were right in 1776.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also there, common injuries, cookie-related injuries, choking on crumbs, or breaking a tooth on a particularly hard one. However, 3% of respondents in the survey reported poking themselves in the eye with their fingers.
That's really hard to do.
And this is the best one. 7% of respondents to this survey said they had been bitten by a pet or, quote, other wild animal,
while
unquote,
feeding?
Which was trying to get their cookie.
Oh.
So the...
It really puts the whole Founding Father thing in a new light, doesn't it? You know, they're being injured by cookies.
We
can't be part of that.
Haven't you ever seen the wonderful paintings of Yorktown where they're hurling Oreos over the battlements? And Alexander Hamilton standing in the air with a giant box of Hydrox? It's terrible.
I submit to you, members of the Continental Congress, mm-hmm. that a people that stick cookies in their eyes are not fit to rule this independent government. Yeah.
Make sure that nothing breaks. The china's so dear and the treacle so clear, and I'm glad that you are here.
Thank you, everybody. The hour is flying by. It's time now for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Robert Cargill at UCLA.
Hey, what do you do there at UCLA?
I am an archaeologist and instructional technologist.
What is an instructional technologist?
You know, at universities, there are techies and there are fuzzies. And the technologists are the hard scientists, things that use technology all the time. And the people in the humanities are the fuzzies. My job is to teach those in the humanities to use technology.
Do you have to speak slowly and not use big words?
Yes, it is. I have to be quite erudite.
Well, you see, I was a humanities major. I have no idea what you just said. Well, Robert, welcome to our show. Now, you're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. What is the topic, Corva?
Help. I need somebody. Anybody. Seriously.
This week, we read about needy people looking for help, but going about it in an unusual and maybe not the wisest way. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories of people seeking assistance using unconventional methods. Choose the real story. You'll win Carl Castle's voice in your home answering machine or voicemail, whatever you like. I'm sure you have something high-tech. Ready to do it?
I am. Let's go.
Let's hear first from Kiri O'Connor.
OMG, we are totally lost in the storm drains. Really scared. This is not funny, people. We don't know the actual wording, but we do know this. Two girls, 10 and 12, got lost while exploring some storm drains south of Adelaide, Australia. Luckily, they had a cell phone. But instead of calling an emergency number, they posted a status update on Facebook. They sat there for 7 hours with a cell phone. Finally, an alert friend saw the update and called police. Experts say it's just natural, if unwise, that the girls used Facebook, their medium of choice. But, like, what if that alert friend had been busy taking the "What 80s rock diva are you?" quiz?
Two girls stuck in a storm drain decide to update their Facebook status. Stuck in storm drain. Instead of just calling for help, your next story of a cry for help comes from Charlie Pierce.
When Gwen Kozlowski, a ranch hand at the Triple L Alpaca Farm in Portage, Wisconsin, discovered that her bosses might have to close the place because of a financial downturn, she took matters and a pair of clippers into her own hands. She shaved the message, "Help keep this ranch open," one letter at a time, into the sides of her charges. Unfortunately, alpacas are not known for their spelling and rarely march in strict grammatical formation. So her message got garbled during the morning milling until passing motorists were treated to alpacas spelling out what appeared to be an old and lengthy German word describing an exotic sexual practice. This naturally drew local TV and the press. Gwen explained her case, and soon the Alpaca Farmers Association of America donated enough money to keep the Triple L solvent.
A message shorn into the hides of alpacas without good spelling skills. Your last story of someone reaching out comes from, of course, P.G. O'Rourke.
Tom Corbett, 73, of Norwood, Illinois, was injured while using the weed whacker in his yard. Seeking treatment, he drove himself to Blue Cross Blue Shield corporate headquarters in nearby Chicago. Dad's been watching TV about the health care debate, said Tom's daughter Melanie, and keeps hearing that health care insurance is the big thing and health care reform, so he figured when he needs medical treatment, he better go to Blue Cross. The Assistant Vice President for Public Affairs at Blue Cross Blue Shield, Elliot Shapiro, met with Tom in the office lobby. Actually, Shapiro said we were able to treat him. Tom had a blade of grass stuck in his eye. One of the receptionists removed it with a Q-tip and gave him a squirt of murine and, added Shapiro, no copayment.
So, here are your stories of somebody reaching out for help in an unusual way. From Carrie O'Connor, two girls stuck in a storm drain, who instead of calling for help just updated their Facebook status and waited. From Charlie Pierce, an alpaca farmer who decided to use her charges to try to send a message of help, but did not count on the alpaca's inability to spell. And from P.J. O'Rourke, a guy who had a medical problem, went right to the solution, Blue Cross Blue Shield, their corporate offices. Which of these was a story of an oddly placed call for help?
Well, they are all very clever, but I will regret it forever as a technologist if I don't choose. I'm a huge Facebooker, so I'm going to have to go with Facebook.
You're going to go with the two girls.
With Carrie's, yeah.
Who used their cell phone to update their Facebook status to indicate their need for immediate assistance.
I've seen it done.
Have you? Well, we spoke to another expert on the topic to get the real story.
The fact that they chose to update their status on Facebook just shows that social networking is more ingrained in their way of communicating than calling for help.
That was social media expert Mark Glazer, executive director of PBS's Media Shift, talking about the girls trapped in the storm drain who updated their Facebook status. The real story was Carrie, so you earned a point for her just for being truthful, and you have won our game. You will get Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine or whatever you cool high-tech people are using these days.
iPhone.
An iPhone. Okay, thanks. Well, Robert, thanks for playing with us today.
I appreciate it. Had a great time. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now the game where we ask accomplished people questions about things they never bothered to accomplish. Speaking of asking questions, for the last 30 years or more, the most feared member of Congress has not been a bomb thrower like Newt Gingrich or an arm-twisting Paul like Tip O'Neill. No, no. The guy that has malefactors trembling in their expensive loafers is an unassuming Jewish guy from West L.A. known and feared as the mustache of justice. Congressman Henry Waxman of California is currently the chair of the House Committee on Energy and Commerce, and he joins us now. Congressman Waxman, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Please.
Great to have you. So, obviously, we want to talk to you about the big speech President Obama gave this week to the joint session of Congress. What did you yell out?
I yelled out, hooray.
You did?
I was really pleased with the speech. I thought it was terrific.
Well, that's great. Yeah, yeah, speech. But listen, we want to talk about... We're like the rest of America. Speech? We're like, what speech? We want to talk about Joe Wilson and his thing. Have you ever heard anything like that before? Have you ever heard in all your years, and you've been there for a while, have you ever heard anybody yell anything like that at a president?
No. I've never seen it happen like that, and I was quite astonished.
And what did you guys in the room, Democrat and Republican, what did you do? Did you go, oh, he in trouble now? Did you just... what was the reaction in the room?
I think there was just an audible gasp, and some of us stood up to try to see who might have said such an outrageous statement. I didn't know who it was until afterwards.
Was he drinking? usually,
well,
I do.
Not with
like
me.
No, we do. Because I don't know about. I don't know. I don't know if you know this, but we who watch at home often have drinking games with presidential speeches, and we figured maybe you guys do too in the chamber. I don't know what you got going on under the desks. I'm actually very curious about the theatrics of these huge speeches, State of the Unions and other speeches like this. You guys all know that you could be on national television any minute, right? So you must be aware of what you're doing, saying, even the facial expression, right?
Yes.
Right. And do you have any rules for yourself? Like, I will not pick my nose. I will not pick my nose.
That's one of my rules.
One of your rules. One of your rules. And are you very conscious of your visible reaction to everything the president says?
I was surprised afterwards to look at the video of all the members that were on their BlackBerries. There were some that didn't even look like they were paying attention to the speeches.
I think Eric Cantor was playing Bejeweled, I think.
Now, he might have been upgrading his Facebook. I don't know.
Are you? Hey, I'm on TV. Are you one of the congressmen or representatives or senators who like to get there early so you can be sure to shake the president's hand as he works his way down the aisle?
No, never done that. They have to get there too early. And it's not that important to me.
Really? Really? One last question about this before we move on to you, sir. But we noticed that because you guys have the majority now quite significantly, that you can't just divide it down the middle on the aisles anymore, that some of the Democrats have to go sit with the Republicans. How did you decide who had to go do that?
They must have come very late.
You weren't out in the gallery playing rock, paper, scissors, and Steny Hoyer's like, no, two out of three, come on, man.
As a matter of fact, there's a scramble for seats, and I went early just to put something down on a seat with my name on it, and two-thirds of the seats had already been taken with people reserving them. So they must have come too late to get one of those seats, and they were stuck with the Republican side.
Really?
You mean you guys don't get your own chairs? What kind of job is that?
Yeah, how about that?
Really? That is kind of crazy. I mean, you are the combined Congress of the United States.
I'm just a reporter, and I've got my own chair.
Do you have like they do at the Oscars, if you have to get up for something, does somebody come running out of the wings and sit in your chair?
Oh, a seat filler.
Oh, that might go.
Oh, is that the way they do it? I've never been to the Oscars, even though I represent Hollywood.
I was about to say, isn't that constituent service on your part?
Yeah. Wow. Okay, one more question before we move on. One of the interesting things about you is that despite your long service in Congress, your successful service in Congress, you've never sought higher office. No interest in maybe moving over to the other chamber or something like that?
No, not really. I have a great respect for the Senate of the United States. But
you do?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Why not? California.
Might as well say so.
To run for Senate is like running for president in such a big state. The curse is when you're a congressman from a state with only a few House members and, of course, two senators. And then if there's an opening, there's such a strong push or temptation to run for Senate. But I've enjoyed my career in the House, and I'm chairman of an important committee, and I can get a lot more done there than I could as a new senator if I were to run for the Senate.
Right. You know, I understand governor of California is a pretty easy job, at least judging by the people who've done it.
I will not serve if elected. I will not run if nominated.
I think that's wise. Well, Congressman Waxman, it is a pleasure to have you here, but we're not done with you yet. Time to give you a little grilling. We've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
You say you are a Waxman, but you keep moving around.
We were wondering. You've been a Waxman all your life, but how much do you really know about Waxmen and women? We're going to ask you three questions about wax museums. The people you find inside them, and those who love them. Get two questions right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl's Voice, and their home answering machine. Corva, who is Congressman Henry Waxman playing for?
He's playing for Lucy Napke of Fort Thomas, Kentucky.
All right, here's your first question, Congressman. Tragedy nearly struck when a new wax statue of President Barack Obama debuted at the Musée Gervin Wax Museum in Paris. What happened? A, it was so lifelike it was mobbed by excited Parisians and someone ran off with his arm. The French government asked that the Obama sculpture be either made shorter or placed further away from President Sarkozy's office. Or C, they took it to the Eiffel Tower for a big photo op and it nearly melted in the sun.
Are those the only choices?
Yes, sir.
Not neither of the above?
No, that doesn't work that way. You can't call for further investigation. It's one of these three.
I see. And one of them is correct?
One of them is, in fact, correct.
Please answer the question, Congressman.
I have to go with one. It's too it's too threatening.
You're going to say it was so lifelike it was mobbed by Parisians.
Yeah, I can't abide by the idea of a Waxman melting.
I know. That would be bad.
Oh.
Even more horrifying, that's what happened. The answer was C. It nearly melted. A team rushed over with umbrellas to keep Mr. Obama looking youthful and inexperienced.
And Soccer Z was off in the corner going, 2 more inches, come on, 2 more.
All right, not a problem. You still have 2 more chances here. You get to revise and extend your testimony. Your next question. Wax museums sometimes mark holidays or big events by unveiling relevant sculptures. As in which of these following instances? A, notorious pot smoker and rapper Snoop Dogg's sculpture at Madame Tussauds in Las Vegas was unveiled on 420, April 20th, 420, widely recognized, as I'm sure you know, as National Pot Smoking Day.
B, now, that came up before a joint committee.
It did.
Oh.
Charlie.
Oh. B, you got that joke, Congressman? Oh, he's not as staid as he seems. B, a New York wax museum unveiled an Elliot Spitzer sculpture on Valentine's Day. Or C, just this last week, Madame Tussauds in Washington, D.C. celebrated Labor Day with 15 new sculptures of Octu Mom and all her kids. Labor Day, get it?
I don't have the faintest idea.
Really? So let me give just a review. It's Snoop Dogg getting his statue unveiled on 420. New York, Elliot Spitzer on Valentine's Day, or the Octomom and her kids on Labor Day?
I'll go with number one.
You're going to go with number one, Snoop Dogg?
Yes.
You're right.
Oh, yes.
Oh. Mr. Dogg, we call him Mr. Dogg. Said the unveiling was just a coincidence. He added that he celebrated April 20th at home with his family and his bong. All right. Your last question. If you get this, you win our big prize for that listener. As celebrities change in age, sometimes their wax sculptures do not keep up with their real-world appearance. Museums are on the case, though. Which of the following is true? A Joan Rivers statue is updated bimonthly by a team which tracks her facial evolution. B, Al Roker asked that his wax gut be trimmed in his sculpture to reflect the immense amount of weight he lost from stomach stapling. Or C, in the storage room at Madame Tussauds, there are no fewer than 5 heads to use in the future for Barack Obama as he inevitably ages and grays over the next 3 years.
I think it's probably B, Al Roker.
B, Al Roker. Yeah. You're right! He's correct! Word has it the museum reused his belly wax to make candles and now has enough to light all of New York.
Jeez.
It's better to light a candle than the curse to darkness.
That's true. Or Al Roker, for that matter. He doesn't like that. Corva, how did Congressman Henry Waxman do in our quiz?
Well, Peter, the congressman had 2 correct answers, and that's enough to win for Lucy Napke, and Carl Castle will be recording the message on her answering machine.
Congratulations, sir.
I'm so happy for her.
Congressman Henry Waxman has represented California's 30th congressional district since 1975. He is the chair of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. His new book, quite well worth your time, is The Waxman Report, How Congress Really Works. Congressman Waxman, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Delighted to be with you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I want to grow up to be a politician and take over this beautiful land. I want to grow up to be a politician.
Thank you, everybody. So happy to be back with you. In just a minute, Corva saves us all using the rhyme lick maneuver. It's a listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you about the week's news. Charlie, French President Nicolas Sarkozy made a speech this week, nothing unusual. He had a group of workers standing behind him as a backdrop, not unusual. Turns out, though, that those people had all been screened to make sure they were what?
Shaven.
No.
None of them had wives as hot as Madame Sarkozy.
No, do you remember? I don't know if you remember this. We covered this in the show, but at the G8 summit, they took a picture of him with all the world leaders, and the uncropped photo showed him standing on his tippy toes.
Oh, they weren't taller than he was.
Right, they're all shorter than he was.
All right, yeah.
News media talked to all the workers at the event, and the ones on the podium who had been on the podium admitted they had been carefully screened for height. None of them were over 5 feet.
If you are
five.
Not shorter than a clown, you can't stand behind the president.
What they did was they went to Euro Disney, and it was like, oh, you're taller than this, you get to ride Space Mountain. Not come meet the president. Sarkozy, who around here we like to call Mini-Moi, he is 5'5 himself. He's 5'7 in his heels, and he's 6'5 according to his Match.com profile. He finished the speech. He patted his audience on the head, and then he left the stage. He was followed by reporters hoping he would lead them to his pot of gold. If only there was some sort of French word for the Napoleonic complex, I think we'd be able to...
A French leader who's insecure about his height? What could possibly go wrong?
Kiri, the fear of swine flu is taking a toll around the world. In France, people are being asked to refrain from taking part in what cherished tradition?
Being taller than the president.
Does it have to do with the exchange of... affection?
It does, Kiri.
The kiss thing.
The kiss on both cheeks. Yes. Very good. Used to be you couldn't buy a newspaper in France without the vendor grabbing you and licking your cheeks in that Gallic greeting known as la bise. But now French schools, companies, and a health ministry hotline are telling the French, please, no cheek kissing. It might spread swine flu. Other cultures are being affected. The Japanese are now bowing backwards. Iraqis have given up shoes and are now throwing only freshly laundered socks. Of course, former Idaho Senator Larry Craig only goes out wearing hospital booties on his shoes. As for Silvio Berlusconi, he's covered in a head-to-toe hazmat suit. Charlie, in response to updated laws in Japan, the country's most notorious organized crime group has begun requiring its members to do what?
Register with the local police.
No.
What?
What? I'll give you a hint. Oh. It's sort of like the SAT, the Sopranos aptitude test.
What? They're giving them standardized tests?
Yes, they're giving them exams. They're giving new recruits exams. New laws in Japan mean crime bosses can
they find 65 people stabbed to death with number two pencils?
Pretty
in
much.
Warehouse?
Pencils down. That's not what I meant. New laws mean that crime bosses can be sued for the actions of their underlings, so the Yakuza is not taking any chances. Police investigating a murder found a 12-question exam. It was meant to prepare young hoodlums for a career in hoodlaming.
You know, I hate it, Peter, because you put in standardized tests and they teach the test.
I hate that.
There's no creativity in killing people in the grammar schools over there anymore.
The questions, this is true, and included multiple choice on what activities might be illegal. We're told, though, the next improved version of the test will have a three-part essay question. Question one, what do you mean? I'm funny? Number two, funny like I'm a clown? I amuse you? Three, funny how? How am I funny? Then there's math. Math questions. There's a math section. If one car with a freshly empty trunk leaves an abandoned rail yard at 7 p.m., traveling 55 miles per hour, do you know a freaking thing about it? No, you don't. And, of course, a section on anatomy. Find the kneecaps. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's a game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can also leave a message. You can send an email to waitwait@npr.org. You can also go to our website. It's waitwait.npr.org. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, my name is Kate McCartney. I'm calling from Caribou, Maine.
Caribou, Maine?
Caribou, Maine. Caribou, Maine.
Where is Caribou?
We are very far northern Maine, really more western New Brunswick than anything. We have a National Weather Service station here, so we're always on those computerized weather maps, except the weatherman's head is always covering us up.
Wow. Kate, welcome to the show. Now, Corva Coleman right here is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you'll be a winner. Here's your first one.
Queen Victoria, if you trust rumors, thought that bodily lusts were like tumors. She saw plenty of harm in exposed undergarments. How fitting to show off her...
bloomers.
Yes, bloomers. Exactly right. This week, the British government announced it was giving, quote, national designated status to a pair of linen bloomers and a chemise that had belonged to Queen Victoria. It's a rare honor given only to items of national and international significance. And while at first it may seem, you know, a tad misplaced, one look at the bloomers with their 50-inch waistband and leg openings big enough to accommodate two mighty British oaks. And you understand their historical importance. Even so, the artist Christo has applied to the British government to wrap them around Buckingham Palace. All right, very good. Here is your next limerick.
Call it hooch, juice, or sauce, or just prune wine. This drink I've distilled makes you swoon fine. My do-it-yourself is as good as top shelf, but the law thinks it's just modern...
moonshine.
Right. According to Salon.com, moonshine, homemade liquor. It's back. It's the beverage of choice for those who feel that Everclear is just too corporate. Foodies all over are distilling their own alcohol. They're enjoying the endless variety possible and low cost. And besides, going blind from alcohol poisoning is the new thin. Sadly, distilling your own spirits is still illegal. It can get you 5 years in prison. But on the upside, after drinking a jar of lightning juice made by your foodie friends in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, you'll need the quiet time. All right. Here is your last limerick.
My students are clay. I'm their shaper. But it's hard to mold minds that are vapors. OMG, I'm perplexed. LOL, gee, what's next? These kids write in text on their...
papers.
Right, papers. Annoyed professors all over the country are reporting that smiley faces, you know, acronyms like LOL and other texting colloquialisms, are popping up more and more frequently in student papers.
Heathcliff, smiley face.
Right. According to Cal State San Marcos teacher Martha Stoddard Holmes, quote, occasionally I've been seeing someone using the number 4 for the word for, unquote.
My God, we've raised a generation of prints.
I know, it's terrifying. Remember, kids, when you're writing, say, your big term paper in the Hindenburg disaster, don't end it with the radio announcer going, O-T-H, O-T-H. Corva, how did Kate do on our limerick quiz?
Well, Peter, Kate got 3 right, so she wins Carl Castle's voice on her home answering machine.
Kate, thank you so much for playing our game.
Oh, thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Corva, can you give us the scores?
I sure can. Charlie and Kiri each have 3 points and are tied for the lead. PJ has 2 points.
All right. PJ, you are in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when they begin your first question. Fill in the blank. New Supreme Court Justice Blank heard her first case this week.
Sotomayor.
A religious fanatic briefly hijacked a plane taking off from a beach city in Blank on Wednesday.
Mexico.
Right. To recoup losses from his Ponzi scheme, the Manhattan penthouse and other homes owned by Blank went up for sale.
Madoff.
Right. Married California Assemblyman Michael Duval resigned after he was caught blanking in front of a live microphone.
Bragging about his sexual liaisons.
Exactly right. The landlords of an upscale Berlin apartment agreed to cut their tenants' rent by 10% because the walls are so thin that the tenants can blank.
Pop right through and visit each other without knocking first.
No, just to hear their neighbors using the bathroom.
I see.
Just 2 weeks into the school year, Washington State University reported that it had 2,000 students already infected with blank.
Swine flu.
Right. Beaches in the Cape Cod area were closed after scientists tagged 5 blanks offshore.
Sharks.
Right. Great white sharks. The Flintshire County Council in Wales will no longer be serving the beloved dessert Spotted Dick in its canteen because of, quote, blank.
Sexism.
No, because of immature comments made by some.
I should get a point for that.
No.
I should get a point.
Are you
That's an immature comment.
Spotted dick, as all Anglophiles know, is a kind of pudding. It's been well-loved in Britain for centuries. It involves raisins. Raisins, I tell you. But the sniggering and dirty jokes eventually got to be too much for the city council in Flintshire. They changed the name, and Spotted Dick will now be known by its formal name, and we are not kidding, Spotted Richard.
A bunch of Richards they are.
Exactly. Corva, how did PJ do on our quiz?
Well, he got 6 correct answers for a total of 12 more points. PJ now has 14 points, and he's taken the lead.
All right, well done. We have flipped a coin, and Charlie has elected to go third. Kiri, you are up next. Fill in the blank. According to new census reports, the number of people without blank insurance rose to 45.3 million this year.
Health.
Right. Controversial comments about 9/11, among other things, caused White House Green Jobs Advisor Blank to resign last weekend.
Van Jones.
Right. After repairs to fix a cracked support, the Blank in San Francisco reopened early.
Bay Bridge.
Right. On Wednesday, Fox announced that Paula Abdul would be replaced on American Idol by Blank.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes. An entrepreneur in Gibraltar has invented a device to prevent monkeys from sneaking into his yard and blanking.
Stealing his fruit.
No, stealing his underpants from the clothesline. 17-year-old Melanie Udan of Marietta, Georgia, emerged as the surprise star of this year's blank.
U.S. Open.
Right, but she lost in the quarterfinals. Because of $24 million in debt, celebrity photographer Blank could lose the rights to her life's work.
Annie Leibovitz.
Right, police who caught 4 people trying to steal the giant pepper off a Chili's restaurant may have been tipped off because the thieves blanked.
They forgot to turn the lights off?
No, they ran a 470-foot extension cord across a 4-lane highway in order to power their electric drill.
Oh.
What a bunch of Richard heads.
I know. The thieves connected 470 feet worth of extension cords, and they ran it across a 4-lane highway through the parking lot of a Home Depot and over to an available outlet. They had just managed to detach the huge chili pepper when police arrived. Then one thief, upon his arrest, standing in the parking lot of the Home Depot, "If only we had some kind of special drill that could work somehow without a cord. Where could one acquire such a remarkable device? Ah, well, off to the hoosegow."
I think they should give them the damn pepper.
You think they worked so hard for it?
They really tried.
Corva, how did Kiri do in our quiz?
Well, she had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 15 points, and Kiri has taken the lead.
All right, then.
She's taken the lead.
She's taken the lead. So, Corva, how many then does Charlie need to win?
Charlie needs 6 correct answers to tie. He'll need 7 to win.
Here we go. Fill in the blank, Charlie. This is for the game. Although votes in 83 polling places were invalidated, Hamid Karzai still had a commanding lead in the election in blank.
Afghanistan.
Right. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood said that the government has approved reimbursements of $1.22 billion to car dealers as part of the blank program.
Cash for clunkers.
Right. The South Carolina GOP caucus called on Governor Blank to resign for his actions and infidelities.
Mark getting some Sanford.
That's right. In his first public appearance since taking a medical leave of absence, Blank headed up Apple's event on Wednesday.
Steve Jobs.
Right, because downloading information online takes too long. An office in South Africa is sharing information by blanking.
Semaphore.
No, strapping memory chips to the legs of carrier pigeons. 4 months after it was repaired, NASA released dramatic new photos taken by the blank.
The Hubble Space Telescope.
Right. New York City's iconic restaurant in Central Park, blank, filed for bankruptcy this week.
Tavern on the Green.
Right. While restoring the wildlands around an old base in Colorado, the Army was surprised to learn that they had planted blank.
Spotted dick.
No. Marijuana. They were trying to plant grass.
And did.
But turns out they planted grass. The Army blamed a seed supplier in Kansas. Those guys must have been distracted somehow. Anyway, the Army
says...
You're
not telling me there's not some 13-year-old long-haired kid in the seat storing Kansas going, dude.
Well, this is what's called feral hemp. It's kind of wild marijuana that grows as weeds. It was in the seed supply. Anyway, the Army says they've picked about 100 of the plants so far. One of their plans for the rest is to let, this is true, a local herd of bison just eat it. The bison described the plan as sweet. And a number of the bison were inspired to form a jam band.
Actually, what they're going to do is they're going to take the bison out of the field and put them in a field of Cheetos and fatten them up and then sell them for meat.
Corva, did Charlie do well enough to win?
Well, Charlie had 6 correct answers for 12 more points for a total of 15 points, and that means this week Charlie and Kiri are co-champions.
Well done.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists what will be the next breach of decorum in the halls of Congress after Congressman Joe Wilson showed the way. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. The National Association of Realtors, whose members recognize that every market is different. A realtor is a member of the National Association of Realtors. And the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, supporting the performing arts, environmental conservation, medical research, and the prevention of child abuse. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Ashley Rayfield. Our web guru, Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac here at Chase Bank. BJ Liedemann composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the next rude thing done in Congress? PJ O'Rourke.
While he is supposed to be voting on the Senate health care bill, John Kerry is caught using his BlackBerry to sell the empty Massachusetts Senate seat on eBay.
Kerry O'Connor.
That scamp Lindsey Graham leaves a whoopee cushion on Joe Biden's chair.
And Charlie Pierce.
Representative Eric Cantor will scream in pain and fall down holding his wrist as he drops his BlackBerry and develops a carpal tunnel syndrome that takes him out of Congress.
And if any of those things happen, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Corva Coleman. Thanks also to Charlie Pierce, Kiri O'Connor, and PJ O'Rourke. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. And we'll be again next week when we see you. This is NPR, National Public Radio.